Chapter 158. Retiring for the night, the doctor grows devout. They put us to bed very pleasantly. Lying across the foot of Popo's nuptial couch was a smaller one made of core wood. A thin, strong cord, twisted from the fibers of the husk of the coconut, and woven into an exceedingly light sort of network, forming its elastic body. Spread upon this was a single, fine mat, with a roll of dried ferns for a pillow, and a strip of white tappa for a sheet. This couch was mine. The doctor was provided for in another corner. Lou reposed alone on a little settee with a taper burning by her side. The dandy, her brother, swinging overhead in a sailor's hammock. The two gazelles frisked upon a mat nearby, and the indigent relations borrowed a scant corner of the old butler's pallet, who snored away by the open door. After all had retired, Popo placed the illuminated melon in the middle of the apartment, and so, we all slumbered till morning. Upon awaking, the sun was streaming brightly through the open bamboos, but no one was stirring. After surveying the fine attitudes into which forgetfulness had thrown at least one of the sleepers, my attention was called off to the general aspect of the dwelling, which was quite significant of the superior circumstances of our host. The house itself was built in the simple, but tasteful native style. It was a long, regular oval, some 50 feet in length, with low sides of cane work, and a roof thatched with palmetto leaves. The ridgepole was, perhaps, 20 feet from the ground. There was no foundation whatever, the bare earth being merely covered with ferns, a kind of carpeting which serves very well, if frequently renewed. Otherwise, it becomes moldy, and the haunt of vermin, as in the huts of the poorer natives. Besides the couches, the furniture consisted of 3 or 4 sailor chests, in which were stored the fine wearing apparel of the household, the ruffled linen shirts of Popo, the calico dresses of his wife and children, and divers odds and ends of European articles, strings of beads, ribbons, Dutch-looking glasses, knives, coarse prints, bunches of keys, bits of crockery, and metal buttons. One of these chests, used as a bandbox by our fratee, contained several of the native hats, coal scuttles, all of the same pattern, but trimmed with variously colored ribbons. Of nothing was our good hostess more proud than of these hats, and her dresses. On Sundays, she went abroad a dozen times, and every time, like Queen Elizabeth, in a different robe. Popo, for some reason or other, always gave us our meals before the rest of the family were served, and the doctor, who was very discerning in such matters, declared that we fared much better than they. Certain it was that, had Aremier's guests traveled with purses, portmanteaux, and letters of introduction to the Queen, they could not have been better cared for. The day after our arrival, Mani, the old butler, brought us in for dinner a small pig, baked in the ground. All savory, it lay in a wooden trencher, surrounded by roasted hemispheres of the breadfruit. A large calabash, filled with taro pudding, or poi, followed, and the young dandy, overcoming his customary languor, threw down our coconuts from an adjoining tree. When all was ready, and the household looking on, Long Ghost, devoutly clasping his hands over the fated pig, implored a blessing. Hereupon, everybody present looked exceedingly pleased, Popo coming up and addressing the doctor with much warmth, and our fratee, regarding him with almost maternal affection, exclaimed delightedly, "Ah, Mikanarit Adamati!" In other words, what a pious young man! It was just after this meal that she brought me a roll of crassinate of the kind which sailors sew into the frame of their tarpaulins, and then, handing me needle and thread, bade me begin at once, and make myself the hat which I so much needed. An accomplished hand at the business, I finished it that day merely stitching the braid together, and our fratee, by way of rewarding my industry, with her own olive hands ornamented the crown with a band of flame-colored ribbon, the two long ends of which streaming behind, sailor fashion, still preserved for me the Eastern title bestowed by Long Ghost. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.